Well, I'll try to make some sense of these notes I have and put together. I told Lex I might be 20 minutes, but the notes go longer than that. And so, how are you doing this year? How you doing?
It is well, brother.
It is well. And it's almost over. 2020 is almost over. We are living in a very troubled and confusing time, aren't we? This year, it began, there wasn't really a good, maybe the first week of January, but as soon as January came and this virus started appearing and everything was, it's been quite a year. Quite a year. Let's just say I've got some good news for you, and I'm going to tell you something you already know. Not going to tell you anything new. You either know this or you really should know this. And I'm only too glad to be able to tell you what I'm going to tell you later this morning. And it's not going to take that long. Fact is, it's only five verses that I'm going to focus on. Five verses. But let's just pray. Let's pray. I don't want to go any further without asking for help. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is your Son, and He is our Lord. Yes. He has said we are His brothers. And so, Lord, there is a special relationship that we have here among ourselves as the body of Christ, as the assembly, and we want your presence to be known and sensed by everyone here, and that the Holy Spirit will speak to us what we need to hear and what the church needs to hear. And we thank you that we know you speak. You have spoken already this morning, and we know you will continue. So thank you, Lord, for your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen. So, do you think that once we turn the corner on this wonderful year of 2020, things will get better? You think? Soon as we get out of this year, it's all going to be okay. Well, from your reaction, I would say you share my opinion that as soon as we get out of this year, we're going to be in another one. 2021, it's going to be no better, and it may get worse. It may get worse, in all likelihood. I want to say that I have been, I don't know if this is going to stay up there or not, hope so. I have been very disappointed with current events and the way that information has come in, and I have said before publicly, don't believe anything you hear on television. Don't believe it. And I want to add to that, don't believe pretty much anything you get from the radio, from your cell phone. We're now using our cell phones to get our information. I want to tell you, be careful about all of that. You forget newspapers, but we are in the midst of being flooded with disinformation. And I say, even from sources that I used to trust as being pretty reliable for relatively good information, it's coming even from them. And I'm not saying I'm really totally, really good connected, but I'm kind of like, I'm moderately connected with what's going on and where to get information, and even the places that I really think are pretty reliable, I'm disappointed in their lack of substance or lack of truth. It's quite surprising. There is almost nothing that I can fully say conclusively that's right. I always have to weigh everything that I hear, whether it comes from the TV or the computer or the cell phone, because of this storm of disinformation. Now, what's another word for disinformation? Yeah, lack of truth, lies. We're being lied to unmercilessly. So how do we protect ourselves? And I don't think, and I wanted to say this, it kind of like, kind of bad news. This is not bad news, but there's no nothing we can do. There is no weapon on this earth that we, with our feet on the earth, in the earth leaves, we have no solution for this. We have nothing we can guard ourselves with, because this is the domain of darkness. We are in the domain of darkness. Now, it also says we have been delivered from the domain of darkness. But for now, where we are, don't trust anything you hear from the media. We'll put it in a big lump, the media. For our struggle, now, a little while ago, whatever it was, I was reading Ephesians, and Ephesians had this wonderful phrase, in the heavenlies. It repeated 5 times. If something is repeated 3 times, you should pay attention. But if 5 times it says, in the heavenlies, really watch for it. And one of the heavenlies was, one of the mentions of that is Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. That's where we're, that's, you need to be sensitive to that. Our struggle is not on the earth. It's not with the politics. It's not with the culture. It's in the heavenlies. That's where the struggle right now is going on, in the heavenlies. It's above us. It's in a different realm than we get with our senses, with our hearing and our speaking. It's honestly, it's in that spiritual realm, the heavenlies. So in listening with the ears and reading and seeing, if you watch television, whatnot, it is quite amazing to hear what some sources say. And this disinformation, the lies that come, and the projection that say, they lie to you, but they say you're lying to them. That's called projection. I don't know if you're familiar with that. This is part of the war. Why is it? And 2 Corinthians 4:3. I'm going to hit him with lots of verses today. 2 Corinthians 4:3, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. There is a blindness, spiritual blindness, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. There is a blindness there. This is the domain of darkness. 2 Corinthians, a little bit later in chapter 4, verse 18. Go down to verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Amen.
Our viewpoint has to be on the things you can't see, because that's where eternal things are. So where are our weapons? If that's all true, go down to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3.
Amen.
For though we walk in the earthlies, that doesn't say that, does it? That's what it means. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are on the earthlies, but we need to be in the heavenlies. So, if I were to then, okay, like tell you what I'm going to tell you, I would title this little message will be titled, Who's in Charge? I wanted to be cute about it and say, Who's the boss? But that's too cute. I would say, Who's in charge? And I want to read 5 verses. Now, I'd finished reading Ephesians and really appreciate the message that Ephesians gives us. But at the same time, in the same prison where Ephesians was written, I had moved over to another letter that Paul had written at the same time, same place, to the church at Colossae, the letter to the Colossians. I wanted to read that, and I wanted to try to get a hook on it. I read it. I can't quite get a hook on it. But there are 5 verses in Colossians that I think suit us right now, right here, where we are at the end of 2020. 5 verses we have to know and use as a filter for everything that you hear from everybody else. 5 verses, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. These 5 verses, 15 to 20, are kind of set apart somewhat differently from the rest of what Paul wrote. Whether he wrote these or whether he paraphrased something, it's referred to as the hymn of Christ, these 5 verses. Colossians 1:15. Whether they sung it, whether it was a song, a hymn that they sung in the early church, or whether it was a poem or whatever, one or two translations actually sets these words apart, and so they don't stretch the whole, and it looks like it was written as a poem. But it's very interesting. But for that matter, anyway, we're just going to go. Let me read all 5 verses, then I'll go back and mention a couple of things. 1:15. And he, Christ, that is Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross.
Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. That is the hymn of Christ. Now, we could spend all day on one verse, all day on another verse, and five verses could take a long time. But I just want to quickly go through these and look at something each about. The image, he is the image, in verse 15, the image of the invisible. The English word for image is image, right? Yeah, that makes sense. The Greek word for image is icon. He is the icon of the invisible. Icon, if you're familiar with icons, the Eastern Church, where we were in Russia, we saw a lot of icons. They could be little tiny pictures, or they could be pictures that hang on the wall of some previous saint or something, and they adore those things, and those are icons. They're two-dimensional. They have height and width. There's something in the Greek, though, that carries much further than just height and width, like a photograph would. Icon in the Greek carries with it just what it looks like, but also deeper, the character, the nature and character of something. So when Paul writes that he is the image of the invisible God, he is also, it has the nature and character of the invisible God. He indicates that the very nature and character of God have been perfectly revealed. In Philippians 2:6, it says, who, although he existed in the form of God, at one time before creation, he existed in the form of God, but he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Before creation, he existed in the form of God, and he carried, except for being emptied of glory, he carried with him that form, and he is the icon of God. So it's very important. We know him that he is has the nature and character of God. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 2, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the power of his word. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. This is who Christ is in the image of the invisible. He is also the firstborn of all creation. Here's another thing. Getting from Greek to English, you always lose something in the translation. And the only word that they ever choose for this is firstborn. And I read something from Kenneth Wiest on this. The firstborn of all creation. Wiest says the word firstborn, which is prototokos, the Greek word implied two things. There's two things when he says he's the firstborn of all creation. Two things. First, it is priority to all creation. And secondly, sovereignty over all creation. He has priority and he has sovereignty. In the first meaning, we see the absolute preexistence of the Logos. And since our Lord existed before all created things, a little side note, I think creation took place 6,000 years ago, according to Genesis. That's another thing I am really enjoying, that creation, This everything you see in creation is 6,000 years old. Everything. That's another story for another time, but it's marvelous. It's incredible to see what God, what He's done by speaking the worlds into existence. Anyway, don't get me started there. He's got the priority of all creation, sovereignty, all that. Since our Lord existed before all created things, He must be uncreated. Since He is uncreated, He is eternal. Since He is eternal, He is God. Since He is God, He cannot be one of the emanations from deity of which the Gnostics speak. That's what's all about. That's why Paul wrote Colossians, because of a spiritual attack taking place on truth from this group of people called the Gnostics. And they were pretty crazy. Even though He proceeds from God the Father as the Son. In the second meaning, we see that He is the natural ruler, the acknowledged head of God's household. He is the Lord of creation. Romans 8:29. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, is that up? Take a close look at this. For whom He foreknew, for whom God foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. As Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible, the icon of the invisible. What this is saying? You are the icon of Christ. You are the icon. Not just that you're taking on His image, but you are taking on His character and His nature. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. All right, verse 16 says, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. We've seen these guys before in Ephesians. All things have been created by Him and for Him. Verse 16, all things created by Him. The passive, were created, indicates that God is the creator, while by Him suggests that Christ is the instrument of the creation. There's probably no accident that when He became flesh, incarnate, the job He took on was as a carpenter. Instead of chariot driver or something, He became a carpenter. Because He's a builder. And He was the instrument of creation. Interesting, anyway. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. God created the heavens and the earth. John 1:3. All things came into being by Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And that just shows, what that shows is, the Word of God is totally consistent with itself. Paul wrote, all things are created by Him. John wrote, apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Romans 11:36, for from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Visible and invisible. Those two things, what we see, what we cannot see. In Ephesians 6:12, like I read before, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies. It's not all a political thing. Are you being inundated with the politics going on today? That's not where the struggle's going on. It's not it. Don't get bogged down in the promise of this or the suggestion of that or the look what's going on. We've got another hearing going on here. The judge is going to rule tomorrow. This is going to happen. And we were talking about January 6th being something. We're looking forward to this. There's a struggle going on. It's all in the heavenlies. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through Him. Remember the title of this message, Who's in Charge? Who's in Charge? Verse 17, before all things. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. John 8:58. Jesus said to His disciples, truly, truly, or I said to them, maybe, okay, He was not talking to the disciples, they were listening. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, was, I am. He is before all things. You know why they got, the Jewish leaders got upset when He said that? Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He used the exact phrase that the burning bush uses in telling Moses. Moses answered the question, who do I say is calling? Say, I am. He's calling, it's ego eime, I am. It's used the same. He identified Himself as the eternal God. That got him worked up. Hebrews 1:3. He is the radiance of His glory, like the shining burning bush. He is the radiance of His glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds, upholds all things by the word of His power. And when He had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Who's in charge? Verse 18. This is interesting. He is also head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that He Himself might come to have first place in everything. The head of the body of the church. How important do you think the church is on the earth? It is as important as Christ is. It's His body. We have minimized the influence the church should have, but you can see the condition the church is in. Or do we see the condition? How are we seeing the church? Are we seeing the church with the sight, the eyes of our sight on the earth? Or are we seeing the church from the perspective of the heavenlies? Ephesians 1:22. And He put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him, that is God himself, put all things under subjection under the feet of Christ, and gave Christ as head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. That is like radical. To say that the church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. That's radical. To look at the church and say it's the fullness of Christ. But it is. It says it right here. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Acts 26:23. That the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he should be the first to proclaim light, both to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Proclaim light. 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ's at his coming. Is he here yet? He's not here yet, is he? He is coming.
Amen.
He is coming.
Amen.
Soon. We are closer to that second coming right now than we have ever been. Now, that's kind of like common sense. But I mean, by the time we get out of 2020, we're really going to be close. Get ready.
Amen.
He could come anytime. It's lining up right now. Do you know this? Are you going to get your vaccine? You're going to get your vaccine? And when you get your vaccine, you get a little card saying that you had your vaccine, and that little card will allow you to take an airplane flight when you want to go somewhere. They're getting you ready to get whatever is next, to allow you to buy and sell. We were discussing this upstairs. We finished a great little prayer time, and then we started dwelling on all this earthly stuff. That's the way we do it. That's the way we do it. But get ready for the second coming of Christ. It's coming close. It's coming closer all the time. Now, where'd I leave off? Revelation 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. That should stop you right there. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. Who's in charge? He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. Verse 19, back to Colossians. 1:19, the fullness of God. 1:19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. I read that again. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For of his fullness we've all received. We've received the fullness. It's amazing. That's amazing. That might take a little pondering. Of his fullness we have received. Ephesians 3:18. Paul's prayer for us, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Have you felt the fullness of God? Have you felt the fullness of God in you? That's an answer to a prayer. I believe that prayer has been answered. And there are those who experience the fullness of God. And we can, any one of us can experience that. If this, we can pray among each, for each other, this same prayer, that we would know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. You're not going to learn this in a school. They cannot teach this knowledge in school. There is a school. It's the school of Christ. And you will learn a knowledge from Him that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That's incredible. That is incredible. Who's in charge? Verse 20. The last verse. And through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross, through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. We've seen this already in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For He Himself is our peace. Do you have peace in your life? Are you at peace?
No.
If you have Christ, you have peace. If you're looking to Him, you have peace. He is our peace. For He is our peace, who made both groups, Jews, Gentiles, into one body, and all the members, both groups into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. And we can go into that in detail sometime, but He is our peace. That's the point. And if you are struggling in these days of unpeacefulness, look to Christ.
Amen.
He's our peace. You've got to be at peace no matter what's going on. You have to be at peace in this. And I know we struggle. There's an internal struggle going on sometimes when you hear what's going on and you're worried about January 6th and you're worried about what the judge says here and what the legislature is going to say in this Wisconsin, and then Arizona's going crazy and Georgia. I love Georgia, but they're going crazy in Georgia. He is our peace. He is our peace. He's got it. He's got it. He's in charge. Am I making the case pretty clear that He's in charge? You got it? He's in charge. Romans 12:4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, 12:5, Romans 12:5, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. If He can get all of us together and be one body, he can do anything. And if you understand yourself and you understand me and you understand him and you understand them, you know what I'm talking about. He will reconcile all things. Wiest says of this, I'll read what Kenneth Wiest said. Reconciliation in the case of God and man is twofold. A holy God reconciled in that justice has been satisfied at the cross. From God's viewpoint, reconciliation requires justice, and justice be done, and it was done. Justice has been satisfied at the cross, and sinful man is reconciled in that. In the case of the believing sinner, you and you and you and you and all of us, his attitude of enmity towards God is changed to one of friendship. So, once we were enemies of God, but in reconciliation, we are now friends. We are one of friendship. Through his blood, we are reconciled through his blood. Hebrews 9:12, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. It's 12 noon, time to conclude. Done. I'm done. In conclusion, who's in charge, right? You got that, right? In conclusion, it is our job to keep our eyes focused in the heavenlies, not on the earthlies. Colossians 3:1. If then you have been raised up where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Not on the things that are in Georgia. Not on the things in Wisconsin. Not on even Pennsylvania. Verse 3, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Now, if you're a person who doesn't watch television, you don't have a computer, your cell phone is one of these flip phones that open up, and you don't know what's going on in this world, you can live at peace. You still got to think, look to the heavenlies. You still got to keep your mind up there in the heavenly, because you are, if you have been raised up with Christ, and every believer has been raised with Christ, according to Ephesians, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. We fail at this probably multiple times a day, but he is doing a work in each one of us, isn't he? And we may not be of the level of quality of an Amy Carmichael or someone. We may not be up there, but he's got a work that he is doing in each and every one of us, and he will complete it. He will not give up on us. Who's in charge? He's in charge. Christ is in charge. It's okay. It is all okay. You just hang on to that and keep your eyes focused in the heavenlies. And I look, hey, I'm telling myself this just as much. Keep looking at the heavenlies. That's where the war is going on right now. Can we help? Can we have any effect? You had a nice march yesterday. I appreciate that. But marches Marches are marches. They're not going to change anything on the earth. But prayer. Prayer will change it. Prayer changes way more than a march can change. Prayer. So we need to dig down, and we're gonna have to pray. Because that's how we enter into the war, by prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are spiritual, and they are mighty to the pulling down of fortresses. And there are some huge fortresses out there that we're witnessing all around us. So that's enough of that. That's enough. You get the point. Who is in charge? The Lord Jesus. Rest tonight. Rest for the rest of the day. Rest. Rest in Him, please. It's okay. It'll be fine. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the work that You are doing in each one of us, and the work that does not stop. Even when we're asleep, You're working. And we thank You. You have given us an opportunity to see and to hear the things of Your Spirit as we gather together, Lord. Give us a heart of prayer, each one of us, Lord. Thank You for all that You're doing. And Lord, we trust You. We wait upon You. And we are excited to see what You will accomplish this year and in next year. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So it doesn't matter who wins. It doesn't matter. Jesus is on the throne. And we are seated with Him in heavenly places. All right.